May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Christian church has never had a perfect record. I don't think you'll be surprised at that. If you take a random sample of the adjectives people use to describe the church, the list might likely be labeled as racist, judgmental, narrow-minded, divided, pompous. The Church of Jesus Christ has fallen far short of the ideals he entrusted it to. So far short that we may sometimes forget what the church is supposed to look like, and even who Jesus Christ looks like. Occasionally, however, a church comes along that works against all odds. Philippi was one of those rare congregations. When Paul wrote the church, he could hardly find words warm enough to express his pride and affection. He trusted the Philippians. At least four separate times, they had sacrificed as a church to meet Paul's needs. Paul wrote his letter mainly as a thank you note to all his friends and for what they had done for him. His letter reveals his confidence in his Lord and his joyful faith, even in his imprisonment. The second chapter, which we read this morning, is a message about Christ. Jesus is the focus of a healthy and growing church. Jesus was the focus at Philippi. Christianity did not begin with a theological formation, a set of laws, or even a prayer form. It certainly did not begin with a document. It began with a person. Paul knew that to follow Christ, the church had to be committed to the person of Jesus Christ. So he tells them they should strive to be of the same mind as Christ. They are to think Christ-like things. Not the familiar WWJD, what would Jesus do? But Paul says TLJT, think like Jesus thinks. Then to give an example of what it means to think like Jesus, Paul quotes what is widely believed to be a hymn already known to the Philippians. He writes the brief intro, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus," and then jumps right into the hymn. Though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Paul then uses the hymn to send his message home to the Christians at Philippi, calling them to greater obedience to God. He calls them to work on obedience even with fear and trembling. For it is God, he says, who will enable them to do his will. So for Paul, to know God is to know how God has acted in the past. We know that God took the form of a servant when he was born in human likeness. We know that God humbled himself in the person of Jesus. And it was through that humble obedience that Jesus came to be exalted. We know God through God's actions, and God, despite all reason, was humble. So how much more then should we work to be humbly obedient? The Church of St. John's in Versailles. Jesus became the servant of all. How can we then not put ourselves at the humble service of others. If you want to think like Jesus thinks, think of how you can be of service to others. How can we reach out to show God's love for those around us? Paul tells us today in no uncertain terms that we are to strive to have the same mind in us that was in Christ Jesus. The Reverend Frank Logue tells about a sermon delivered by the former Archbishop of Canterbury, George Carey. In the sermon, he mentioned the ministry of Ted Karp, an assistant to the Archbishop of Cape Town, South Africa. Ted was helping the Anglican Church in South Africa combat the AIDS pandemic. 20 years before that, Ted had known nothing about AIDS other than fear and half-truths. It was in 1983 when Ted was working as a priest in the Diocese of Dallas in Texas that the problem of AIDS literally landed on his doorstep. Ted answered his door one night to find standing there a man, his face disfigured by the cancerous sores associated with the advanced stages of HIV/AIDS virus. The man said simply, "Will you allow me to come to your church and to die here?" He went on to explain that 6 other churches had already turned him away. The first thing Ted thought of was this terrible disease and the uncertainties of how it spread. What would it mean for this man to share in worship in his church? He thought, if you drink from the communion cup with someone that has this disease, you too would contract the virus. But Ted, thankfully, stopped long enough to think like Jesus thinks. Ted thought of how Jesus welcomed the outcast in his own society, especially the lepers, who others avoided out of fear of the disease. After an initial pause, Ted said, "My brother in Christ, my church is open to you, and I will stand by you." Later, Ted would learn that the man had come only wanting a place to commit suicide. However, when he realized that Ted actually intended to show him love and care, the man put aside his thoughts of ending his own life. And miracle of miracles, a church was offering love and support rather than judgment and condemnation. The only problem was that Ted's church could not see it the same way. The issue was not inclusion or exclusion, but fear. Fear of AIDS and what it could do to a person. Ted reached out in love to a dying man, and the people of his congregation abandoned their church and that man. A few months later, there were only 21 people remaining in Ted's church. At one main Sunday service, only 3 people attended. But Ted saw no other choice but to stand by the dying man, offering him the love of God. Time passed, the disease ran its course, and the man died, still upheld by the love of Ted and the few who stood by him. Believe me, there was no small cost to thinking like Jesus thinks. But the faithful Christians felt they had no other choice. How could they not humble themselves to be in service of someone in need? Now, friends, I do not know where thinking like Jesus thinks may lead us here at St. John's. But I imagine it could lead us to many uncomfortable circumstances. But if we want to take our Christian faith seriously, we will have to strive to have the same mind that is in Christ Jesus. We must endeavor to think like Jesus thinks. Self-ambition and conceit and pride and arrogance and looking to our own interests, these are the thoughts of men. So therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, humility and unconditional love, they are the thoughts of God. Let us not think of our own interest, but also to the interest of others. And so pray that we may think like Jesus thinks. Amen.